So to when you teach Torah, it has to be free.
You understand that I pay for yeshiva education. It's understood. No,
so yeshiva education, according to the halacha, you're paying for schar b'teila. What would the rabbi be able to do if they were not teaching Torah to your children? They would go out into a plantation and watch the cucumbers grow. They would guard the cucumbers from the rodents. What else could they do? What else? Could they be plumbers, electricians?
They joined the collectors union.
The collectors union? So you're paying them for, it's a terrible thing to say, schar b'teila. What the people who teach Torah, they're not allowed to charge for teaching Torah.
Well, but if you people go to, understand that they have to pay.
What?
They
really, they do? I don't think they understand that. Okay, first of all, people don't have what to pay. There's a lot of poverty, despite the fact that there are beautiful mansions all over Flatbush. Most people in Flatbush are very poor. Sorry to tell you that. I'm sorry to reveal the secret. Both sides. Both sides. The fancier, the nicer the house, the more poverty. You'll, yep. That just the way. Yeah.
People definitely struggle.
Oh, do they struggle? They people I know firsthand, they struggle. People struggle. I could show you, I know a person living in a house. It's worth $2.5 million. He literally does not have a penny to his name.
What are they doing in that house?
Because the person who owns the house is out of town, and he let him stay in the house. So you come, a collector comes to the house, rings the doorbell. He sees this mansion, $2.5 million on the market. I think the house is for sale, $2.5 million. And the guy opens the door, and he says, there's a tzetzel. Can you give me at least $50 if you live in this house, say, you know? And the guy gives him a quarter. Like, what? I come to America, the streets are paved with gold in America. You're living in a $2.5 million house. You don't know what's good. People don't know what's going on behind this game. But the principle of going sarjak, mani bechinam af ata bechinam, and people don't want to pay. Now that idea. That idea extends more. That idea extends. It extends even to an attitude that just like you don't have to pay for Torah, Torah is free. So too, you don't have to give attribution. It's a slippery slope. If you don't have to pay for Torah, so Torah basically it's hefker. So if you are mechadesh. A Dvar Torah, you have a novel insight into the parasha. Why should I attribute that idea to you? The same way you cannot charge me, you have revealed to me an incredible chiddush. You revealed to me a secret about the Torah. So do I have to pay you for that? Do I have to pay for that information? If you go to college, they teach you ABC. They teach you basic, simple, elementary things. You have to pay money. For that information, it costs a lot of money to buy information. Information is very valuable. Things that you would otherwise, you have to pay for it. So if you tell me something, the secrets of the Torah, things that have real moral ethics, value, halacha, insights, understanding, do you have to pay for it? No. You have to pay to get a college education. Supposedly they teach you something in college. I went to college, so I mean, I had basically, whatever it is. Supposedly you're paying for an education. You're paying for knowledge, but when it comes to knowledge of Torah, which is infinitely more value, the Torah says there's no charge, it's free. So in a person's mind, this is how it goes. If I don't have to pay for it, that means it doesn't have any real value. If it doesn't have any real value, I might as well pass it off as my own. I don't have to attribute the source of this idea to the author, to the one that had divine inspiration to reveal this idea. Because if it really had true value, I would have to pay for it. The fact that I do not need to pay for it lets me believe incorrectly that there's no need to give attribution to the source of this information.
Well, skipping that part of remember shame on
Ra. But what about the principle? Maybe, but right, you skip that part, and that's false, and that is absolutely false, and that's why it's very delicate. It's true. Mani bechinam afata bechinam. Enochinami. It's true that Torah you have to pay for, but you are still obligated to attribute an idea, a concept, to its original source. Now, This is the way I always understood it, right? I mean, I think what I'm saying is pretty fair. And then there's another idea, there's a second idea, okay, which is related, it's a cousin, but it's not the same exact thing. And that is, when a person leaves this world and someone says over his chidushim after he's no longer here, so there's a principle called sif soisav doivivoy spakever. His lips murmur in the grave. And what does that mean exactly? If a person was machadish something, he dies, and they silver his chidushim, his insight. So, in our, we don't know what this means. No one ever came back to tell us exactly what this means. It doesn't mean literally the lips are murmuring. I'm sure if we take X-rays.
His ideas live on.
So what does that mean exactly? Is that this little? It means he has a certain nachas ruach. In the other world, we have emuna that neshama. Neshama lives on the Olam HaNitzchi, and the Olam HaNitzchi, that neshama, is receiving a degree of satisfaction. What is that degree of satisfaction? No one came back to explain it to us.
To
this world, that this world lives on, a legacy. His legacy lives on. People are following in his ways, they're saying over his ideas, it makes an impact upon them. And the neshama that is the originator of those ideas is having a degree of satisfaction. And there is a term called sif soif sof. It's an expression which means literally that the lips are murmuring, but it means more conceptually that the neshama has satisfaction. Question. What happens if you say over the idea of a person who has deceased and you do not attribute the idea to that neshama? Does the neshama still derive satisfaction? Well, Chazal seemed to say, that's maybe good l'olam. And then there's a rule of sifsois of doivais bakever. It's not necessarily, now, I always thought that these two ideas are 100% intertwined and you cannot separate one from the other. And in order for there to be a degree of satisfaction in the next world, you must attribute the idea to the author.
Or maybe there is greater satisfaction.
Okay, great. Okay, maybe even if you don't,
correctly cited.
The idea is also satisfactory to give nachas ruach, but it would be better, there would be more pleasure if you would say the name. Correct. Now, I told you this many, many times, this story. This story, I repeated this story many, many times, Rav Moshe Feinstein. There was a Maisha Haya where a person went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. They were making a Torah journal. There was a younger man living in Kollel. He wasn't from the best and the brightest, and his shver was supporting him, and the yeshiva was putting together a Torah journal, and the dinner was coming up, and his shver, his parents, would come to the dinner and they would see the Torah journal and they would look for an article that this younger man wrote, being that he's learning in Kollel and they're supporting him. You know, they expect there should be, you know, they should get something for their money and they should see some article of learning. And this younger man, you know, he wasn't of the caliber to write something of quality that would be accepted in the journal. So he was going to be embarrassed. So he said to Rav Moshe Feinstein, can you do me a toiva? You have in your briefcase there probably thousands and thousands of shtiklach Torah. You know, throw me a bone. Throw me a bone. Give me a shtickle Torah that you wrote, you know, a few paragraphs, and I'll put my name on it, and I'll put it in the journal, and, you know, you'll save me. I don't know, I'm embellishing the story a little bit over here, but it's a true story, supposedly. I can't tell you any for sure, but supposedly, and I'll pass off as my own, and that way, you know, I'll have what to show for myself. So Rav Moshe said to him the following. This is a tremendous chiddush. Rav Moshe says to him, you know, it says in Chazal that when a person leaves this world, sif soisav doivivais bakever. Putting all humility aside, if I have my name is on this Dvar Torah, people are going to read it. They're going to read it. If your name is on this Dvar Torah, no one's going to read it. I know. In Torah Das, they re-brought it back recently, called Mesifta. That was the name they had there. Rabbi Skula, he just passed away. Rabbi Skula, it was his project. He just passed away a few weeks ago. It was his baby, this publication called HaMesifta. And I think he did it for, who knows, 25 years. Then when he retired, so it was no more, came to an end, and then recently they brought it back. They resurrected the Masifta in Torah Vedas. Now I think they actually put back two volumes. I got some ice, whatever. And the editor threw on a lot of money. So I remember when I was there, they put up a sign. The sign went up. The dinner was like Lag BaOmer, and the sign already went up already Chanukah time. Everyone should submit the articles for the journal. And everyone did. It was very competitive. It was very nice. It was competitive. People, they submitted, they worked hard to come up with an idea and the learning, and they wrote, and they rewrote, and they rewrote, and the editors helped them. It was a very chashuva thing. And it came Lag BaOmer, they published the journal, and it was, a substantial, a very chashuva journal. And they took from Chidushim, from the Roshivas who passed away, from the president, and from the boys, all the boys had. So when they published the journal, I'm telling you the honest truth, there is no one that read any of the articles. I don't think anyone, maybe from the Rosh Hashivas, from the ones who passed away, but the boys, the 18-year-old boys, no one read. I wrote an article. I spent a lot of time writing it. Is there even one person who read what I wrote? No way. Did I read anyone else's article? All my chaverim? No. What did I do, and what did everyone do? What everyone did was pashut. It's what I did. I counted how many pages that I wrote. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then I looked at my chaverim and I counted how many they wrote. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, they only wrote 4 pages. I'm better than them. I wrote 5. This guy wrote 3 pages. Aha. This one wrote 8. Oh, I'm jealous. Did I read what they wrote? No way. As far as I'm concerned, I could have written Ashrei Yoshrei Veisecha, and no one knows the difference. If my article would just take out of the sitter Ashrei, no one would know the difference. It was just a matter of how many pages can you write. And that's the side point. But what I was saying, sir, Moshe said to him as follows. That was a side point. That was a little bit of a joke, a little nastiness of human nature. Mm-hmm. But Moses, if this article is written on my name, the day will come when I pass away. People will, they'll search for my chidushim, and they'll read it. If it's under your name, no one will ever read it. And Moshe went. What we're learning today, lezeichu le'ili nishmas of Mordechai Mintz's mother, Chaya Bas Paya, the Paya. Paya. Paya Bas Mordechai. Paya Bas Mordechai Mehu and Shem Avin Aliyah. And Mehu, who else we're looking for? Esther Malka Bas? Yosef. Mehu and Shem Avin Aliyah. Okay, so Rav Moshe said, this is what Rav Moshe says, that it says in the Chazal, Sif Soysav Dovavois Bakever. And Rav Moshe said, I don't know what that means. No one knows what that means. But I'm not a Baal Habas to be Moichel on Sif Soysav Dovavois Bakever. I'm not a Baal Habas. Chazal said, if you say over a Divrei Torah, after a person passed away, there's a principle called Sifsais of Dovais Bakever. I don't know what that means, but one thing I do know, I am not a Baal Habas to be Moichel on this principle. Therefore, I'm not giving it to you anything. Because if I'm going to give you my Chidushei Torah under your name, no one's ever going to read it. If I put it under my name, putting all humility aside, people will read it. Okay, so you see such a principle called Sifsais of Dovais Bakever. Now, with that introduction in mind, Ruud Chomes Hanoch, who shatters to a degree a lot of the ideas, the understanding of this principle, the way I always understood it, I think the way many people understand it, he says here an incredible chiddush, and he reads this into the pasuk. It's very fundamental what he says. Here we go. V'yodev Shaloimar. And he brings us a lot of interesting ideas. V'yodev Shaloimar on page 367. On the right side, where the column in the middle of this column, the Oid Ev Shalomah, the Harav Ponim Yiros Bechelik Alke, the name of a sefer, the famous sefer, the Ponim Yiros. I don't know exactly when he lived. The name, but this is a very popular sefer, cited very often. Bechelik Aleph, the Hagdama Kosav, the Nestapik. Okay, he has a suffix. It's not a vada suffix. Im mechaber sefer tzorch sheyaskir shmoi olav shehu chibroi. Is it necessary? Is it necessary for a mechaber to put his name in the first page, the shar block, the author, or can a person write a sefer anonymously? So they take. I have a sefer. I know of. So that when they put the haskamas, they just cover up. His name. There's a god who wrote l'chvoi. They just cover that up because he wants it to be anonymous. There are some too that are published anonymously. Is this correct? Is this correct thing to do to publish a sefer anonymously? Let's see what it says. Let's read what it says. Then you'll comment. Let's see what he says. First, give him a chance, and then you'll say you're there. Kosav the nistapik yaza salving a mechaber tzarich sheyaskir shmoi olav shul chibroi kidei sheyaskiru shmoi. The yaz sif soisav doivos bakever. Okay, so first of all, you do whatever you want. You live in a free country. Gesunte, hey, you want to go publish sefer anonymously? You want to go spend the money? Go do self-publish. Gesunte, hey, who's stopping you? That's not my question. The question is, will I merit the principle of sif soisav doivos bakever? Maybe one day a person will read this sefer, and they're going to see what it says, and they're going to say over what it says, will I merit in the next world that I will have nachas ruach when in this world they are repeating my chidushim? The person is making a very big assumption over here that someone's going to read this book. Okay, there are a billion books out there in the world. Who's reading them? Okay, this person is making an assumption. He has over here. He has
Iyuf. Who gets the credit?
What? Iyuf. Iyuf. So Iyuf gets the credit. Who is Iyuf? When did he live?
Did he write it? He didn't write it.
Look, I don't know who wrote it. We once learned this. I don't know. Remember.
You're reading a capital that was written by Moshe, so who's getting credit? Moshe's
getting credit.
Even if you doesn't say his name, you have to.
Well, that's the question. This is the dilemma. This is his dilemma. Yahweh, you're a subject. I have good stuff. And you know, as the fact it's so good, people are going to talk about it. But you want to be anonymous. Your name is not mentioned in the sefer. You know, Rashi was anonymous. Originally, when Rashi put out his chibur on Chumash, it was anonymous. No one knew who he was. He put on the table a kuntres. No, on parasha by parasha, no one knew who he was. It was anonymous. Later, people found out and then became Rashi. So the question over here is, and what's the dilemma? So you do whatever you want. You live in a free country. Do whatever you want. But the question over here is, are you going to go into the marriage? We're doing a Kabbalah in Yonim. Is a person, when he passes from this world, is he going to get the satisfaction of Sifsoisov Devais Bakever when they learn this anonymous sefer? Vyaz Sifsoisov Devais Bakever. Or Toiv Shiyichtav Stam Miblit Shiyedu Michibroi. So do we say you must mention your name in order to get attribution in the next world?
Suppose you donate to yeshiva anonymously. Do you get credit for donating to Torah?
Yes, absolutely.
That's
a different principle. That's called giving tzedakah. Chazal say the highest level of tzedakah is where the donor and the recipient do not know of each other. What's the highest?
Finding a job.
Getting a job is the highest. Giving someone a job. Giving someone a job is the highest level. Giving someone a job. Okay, that's giving someone a job. But there's something called tzedakah. In tzedakah has its rules. Then there's a principle called sif soy sav doivavai spakever. That's a different world. There's a term. Your lips murmur, the person's lips murmur in the grave. What does that mean? No one knows what that means because no one came back to tell us what it means. But it means obviously some principle that in the next world there's a degree of satisfaction that there are people in this world that are repeating his chidushim. Now the question is, in that concept, which is a unique concept, is it, what are the rules? What are the rules? Is it necessary that there be attribution to trigger this concept. Or no, as long as the ideas are being taught and said, that is sufficient to trigger this principle of sif soysav dovais bakever. That's the question. L'may nafkamina, a person writes a sefer, is he mechoyev? Is what is the proper Torah hashkafa of putting your name in a book? If you have something that is very valuable, is and you want to be humble, or whatever the reasons are, people have many reasons why they want to hide their name. Is it a proper Torah hashkafa? Everything goes back to halacha. Chazal say there's something called siv seisav doves bakever, and as Rav Moshe Feinstein said, you're not a bal habas to be moichel on this principle. So the question is, does that demand that you put your name or no? As long as someone will eventually anyway say over the chidushim, so who cares if they give you attribution?
Well,
Hashem knows.
Maybe you are a bal habas. I mean, it's your satisfaction.
That's the question. That is the question.
No, I'm asking, Rav Moshe said he's not a bal habas. I'm asking, why is he not a bal habas?
Because Chazal say
satisfaction.
Because Chazal say there's such a thing. If Chazal say there's a sudden that would call Oimer Dovar, anyone that says over Chidushim, that's a different principle. That we start with.
That's a different
principle. Right. So I said, it's two different, they're cousins.
Right.
They're cousins.
Right.
And they're both related. He talks about them both. Okay? He talks about them both. He puts the two together in a moment. But Baramosh, you're not the Baal HaBos. You're not the Baal HaBos. Chazal said, you don't just give it up. If someone gives you $1 million, or you just say, I don't want the money. Is there any person in this world that would do that? Is there any normal person? You haven't yet a winning lottery ticket. A winning lottery ticket.
Yeah, you're right, so let's get to refuse.
I'll throw it in the garbage.
$1 million, I mean, you're talking big money.
It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. You don't just give up. If Hashem gives you a bracha, you don't just reject it. You don't just throw it away. It's not even their cheretz.
It's not clear to me why you're not a bal habos.
What? Okay, let's see. This question was presented upon the Miros, and he answered, you don't need it. You do not need attribution. You do not need to put in the shar blot, the shar of the sefer, your name. The kol sha'omim hachidush. Anyone that says over the chiddush, ahu, af shelo yaskiru shemoi, doesn't matter. Kame shemaya galya, and you receive this sif soysov shel bal hachiddush, doy vivois bakever. And this is not a kashan of Moshe's story, because
the
Moshe's story is. No, because the Moshe says you're not going to read it all together. Rav Moshe told him, you're nobody. No one's going to read it.
Nobody's going to read it, right?
Period. If it's under my name, people are going to read it. So you have to be dealing with a situation where people are going to read it no matter what. Why are they going to read it? I don't know. They're going to read it no matter what. Now the question is, should you be makbid to receive attribution? Now, so over here, the part of me where it says...
If you write it anonymously, who's going to read it?
That's what I told you. That's how we started. We started off, as I told you, we started off... that we obviously we're dealing with stuff that's dynamite that people are going to read, and the only question is, are they going to sit over in your name or not? Okay, it's a theoretical situation to a large degree. Now, in question, how can I say such a thing that you don't need to go sit over in your name? Or don't we have this principle of kolo imedav v'shem amroi? Maybe Gulil is always a very intense need to give attribution. Don't we have a halach that you must repeat over b'shem amro? So he says an incredible chiddush upon Miros. Haynu k'dichshahayu yoidim sh'oisa halacha amara adam gadol hayu mekal ma'isa.
Bob says in the sefer, the reason you have to say something, it's a remez in the chumash, when it says, Eis asher yikros rem ha'yachros hayomim, because it's spelled with an aleph, not a hay. He says that's the remez for kala omer gavamushim maybe gula. That's why he says biachris hayomim. It's but what it is, it creates a connection. If I keep saying something and I keep mentioning, it's already people that I used to mention a lot. And a lot of people came to me and, you know, family members and said, you know, I know you say things over for my father, my grandfather, whatever it is, and they're very appreciative, and but it makes it like people think he's still alive, and that's the point. People still think that person's still alive.
Excellent. Exactly, exactly. Asher Yikra is to call. It's like basically to it has a connotation of you saying to attribution, and the Achres Hayamim that will guarantee that even Achres Hayamim over a long period of time will be a connection. Okay, let's go further. This is what we find in Chazal, they're very machbis, because more often than not, if something is anonymous, no one's going to pay attention. You need to have attribution. You need a name. If someone, Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin, that it's mutter, okay, it's mutter. If you say John Smith said that it's mutter, who's John Smith? Who is he to Paskin a halacha? You often, in order for something to carry weight, go make you say Avart. He's not here. He's come to show Heshi Glatter. He told us to me, he says that one year he sat over by the Seder, his children were sitting around by the Seder. He told them Avart. He told them Avart. His own idea on the Haggadah. And the children were, it's very interesting. Who says this? Yeah. I say this. Dad, have a nice day. Next year, they didn't remember the kids. He told over the same exact thing. And the kids said, same thing. Who says this? He says, the Chassam Sofer. Oh, the Chassam Sofer says that. Oh, wow, what a vart. So he said, you know, I lied to you. Last year I said this word in my own name and you went, eh. Now when I say in the Chassam, oh, the Chassam Sofer says this.
Which one was true?
Okay, what? The first one was true. Go
say, who did that.
You go and tell some son, you know, says this idea, the Rav. The Rav. Oh, you say over this, who cares? What?
If it's endorsed by a rabbi, then alone is enough.
Exactly, so endorsement.
Okay. Like the idea of judging a book by its cover or judging a book by its haskamas.
It's true. It's true. There's a plague in the yeshiva world that they will not touch a sefer unless they are haskamas. This is the way it is. In the yeshiva world, people will not touch a sefer unless they open it up and they have the haskamas of well-known rabbanim. And if there are no haskamas, they won't touch it. There's very few people today that can get away writing a sefer without a haskam. Even the Mishnah Berurah, they are incredible haskamas. They always say, who did who the favor? The people who gave, look in the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah, first had they about like five, and a couple of haskamas. Does anyone know who these people are today? Well, the only way we know who these people is the fact that they gave a haskama to the Chofetz Chaim. So if not for the fact that the Chofetz Chaim, asked them to give him a haskama on Mishnah Berurah, no one would even know who these people are. They would have disappeared from history. So who did who the favor? The Chofetz Chaim did them the favor by asking them to give a haskama. And by doing so, the Chofetz Chaim was larger than life, and his work stood on its own. And in Mela, this person, he gave a haskama on the Mishnah Berurah. If the Chofetz Chaim is this great, so they must be even greater. Who made them greater? The Chofetz Chaim. It's an incredible thing.
It's like quoting a source. You don't have a source.
Right, exactly. But some
is the source.
Exactly, exactly. So therefore, he says over here, this that we have a halach, we have a concept. He's saying an incredible thing. He's saying an incredible insight. This is a very controversial what he's saying. In essence, what he's saying is that this halach that we have, and there's a very big hakpod that they say is because it is necessary to weigh and rate the degree of on everything that's taught. It's important to know who said it, because people have the reputation that stands on its own, and that will basically be a rating system for what you're about to say. And it works both ways, because sometimes what you're about to say is extremely valuable, and people will not take it seriously unless you give proper attribution. And sometimes people may take it too seriously. So if you say who really said this, you say that this was said by who, you say the President of the United States said the following. Who cares? You say, this person, so all of a sudden you take it very seriously. It works two ways. That's what he's saying over here. The reason why Chazal makpid that you should attribute something has nothing to do with the merit in the next world and the principle of Sif Soysef Deveis Bakever. You will get the same satisfaction in the next world if they attribute the chiddush to you, or they don't. The only reason why there is a need for something to be attributed to a person is because if this matter is significant, it is important, people will not take it seriously unless there is a name attached, a name that people respect in society.
That's so superficial.
What do you mean?
I mean,
it's not superficial. Why superficial? It's not.
Because the stress you're giving it is not on integrity.
No, I don't think, people don't, sometimes you say something very profound, but people are just not going to dwell upon it. You need people to pay attention. You know, it's very common when you tell someone, you stop someone in the middle of the street, and they're running, and I want to tell you a vart. They're not going to listen. And if they'll listen, they'll just dismiss it. If they come to Shul Shabbos and it's before Musaf and everyone sits down and it's quiet and the rabbi gets up and he says over this Chiddush, when they're going to go home for the Shabbos Suda, wow, what an incredible Vart. There's the environment and the setting of giving over Torah is critical for it being received. You can take the most profound ideas. If you're going to say it over to a person who's not in a frame of mind, is not prepared to receive what you're saying, it's a waste. It goes down the drain. But the word the words stand on their own. They don't. You need more. You need the ambiance.
Accepting.
You need the ambiance. You go to you have a cup of water. So if you go and I go outside to the hall.
Now you've just reduced it to marketing.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. It's not just marketing. It's a certain. You have a cup of water. I go into the hall. And if I go into a fancy restaurant and they serve me the same cup of water, you go to what's the restaurant on the street called over there? Pescada? What's it called?
Pescada.
So let's say Pescada, the water, they're doing construction and there's no water in the restaurant, and they come running to the Young Israel Avenue, the Young Israel here, and they fill up a cup of water and they run down the block and they put it down on the table. Here's a cup of water. That's $10. What do you mean it's $10? I can get the same water down the block. The ambiance. Here you are. Look at the beautiful restaurant. There's an environment. There is a setting. It's the same exact thing. A person has to be prepared and conditioned to accept. Okay, there's a lot in the packaging. And Michal calls it the marketing. Fine, in Achnami, that's so. The Panami Irois is saying a chiddush neira. He's saying sif soysav deivos bakever does not. It's not really important. It's not really important to give attribution the etzem, because the person, if you're a religious person, Hashem knows everything. Hashem will reward you. There's not a world where you the toivea covered in attribution. You don't need it. Don't Hashem knows. Oh, but Chazal make an emphasis about this all the time. That's because the marketing. It's a marketing technique. It's not gezel. Why don't you say it's intellectual? It's intellectual theft. Why don't you say that? Now when it comes to Torah, ma ani bechinam af ata bechinam. Okay, in the secular world, this intellectual property. Intellectual property, you create something, a concepts, you create electronic things, all these things, you can't go and just take it for free. You got to pay. Torah does not have intellectual property rights. If you are machadish divrei Torah and you work your head off and you study Kol Torah Kula and you're machadish divrei Torah, you don't have any rights. The Hebrew books I spoke. So Mayor Abeldorf will tell you Art Scroll was very clever. They have copyright on the fans. They're also this din de malchus dina. There are a lot of techniques that you can do. We know you're in a business. You're not going to be able to survive today if you're not going to. You can't be machadish Torah if you're not going to be able to get money for it. But in essence, the words of Torah itself, the chidushim, you have no copyright on. Oh, it's not fair. So there are techniques. There is the fans, the layout. You know, there are din de malchus dina. Look at the introduction. The opening page on every art scroll. They write there ashoros. Chamurois, don't you dare. You dare photocopy this thing in any electronic format, v'chulu, you'll be zapped from Shemayim. Even though Rabbi Meir Zlatowitz told me that he gives me permission, he told me, Bepem Moli, I've never done this, I'm only doing this for you. You can copy, he told me I can copy whatever I want from Art Scroll for a class, for a shir. Just write on the thing that it was copied with permission. Permission. Give me a blanket heter, he told me.
You have that permission in writing?
Yes, I do. I have it in email.
Oh, yeah.
I have it in
that's
email.
Worth money.
I have it in email. In email, I used to always mail permissions at artscroll.com, and he would respond to me himself. He would respond himself, and he would say, yeah. It was like a standard response. Then one time he said to me, leave me alone already with this way. Stop bothering me with this already. Do whatever you want. Gesunde hate. He do my father, right? He was very close to my father. Do that, you do whatever you want, regards to the appearance.
I thought it's only photocopying for profit. If you photocopy for profit. Right.
So that's a heter. I once answered by Belsky. I once went into I have a sefer on Masechta Talmud, an incredible sefer. Pictures of the whole Masechta Talmud. You know, it's not benimsi, you can't even get this. The same as Sichas Chulin. I'm some of you know Masechta Chulin. Sichas Chulin, that's very popular sefer, all the diagrams. So the same Machaber who wrote Sichas Chulin, he wrote a sefer which no one even knows about. A sefer on Masechta Talmud. It's an awesome sefer. You never see it around. So I had it. I wanted to give it out, basically photocopy, based the whole sefer from the Daf Yomi Shir many years ago. So I asked Rabbi Belsky, can I copy it? So he said to me, tell me, if you wouldn't photocopy it, would the people in the Shir buy it? Are you causing him a loss of money by you now photocopying the whole safe, everyone in the shir? I said, no, impossible, for two reasons. Number one, it's not available. Number two, no one in the shir is going to buy it. I can tell you as a fact. I have five people, not going to buy it. No way, they'll never buy it. So this is Gesunde, hey, do it. You can do it. I don't think he wanted me to quote him on this, like I'm doing right now. But he was basically saying is, according to halacha, if you're not causing a person a loss of money, and it's Torah, it's Chidushei Torah, there is absolutely no prohibition. And that's not politically correct to say that publicly. I can't imagine Rabbi Belsky would get up public and say that publicly. We would say it publicly because it's not a politically correct statement. And you know, you don't need all the yentas in the Jewish week and the New York Times coming and attacking you. But he said to me, "Al pi halacha, if you're absolutely certain that you're not causing the person who wrote the sefer a loss of money, and you're dealing with Chidushei Torah, which there's no copyright on Chidushei Torah, and there's no loss of money, it's mutter. Gesunde, hey, do what you want. Don't do this too often and in such a public setting, but it's really mutter. Problem is, there's a slippery slope. Once people start doing it like this, you know, one thing leads to another. Okay, I know I spoke to the owner of a very popular website, HebrewBooks.org. HebrewBooks.org. He has a lot of prayer. My father Levracha was very into these halachas, copyright laws, intellectual property. So he, after my father passed away, he contacted me, the person who owns HebrewBooks.org, and they wanted to know what my father holds regarding certain issues. I told him I have no idea. I'm not fluent in these in Yana with my father. Hell, I really have no idea. And the process, I had a very, very nice conversation with him, and it came out that he's under a lot of attack. Constantly. He is under attack, continuously under attack, because he has on his website already thousands and thousands of books that are totally out of print and are not available. They're out of print. The copyright has long expired. And yet, people, family, descendants of some of the people of these Sfarim, they're shocked to learn. They have their
so
great.
What do they want?
I don't. They. I don't know. They're unreasonable. Basically. They're basically. What I remember from the conference a very long time ago. Basically, he doesn't know what they want. They feel that since their great grandfather wrote this sefer, no one has a right to give it out to the world for free. And they have to do whatever. And they have tinus. How dare you go and take our great grandfather's sefer and put it online for free? Yeah.
Was reprinted right after the Six-Day War by Benito Zarap guys who translated, put it into a new concept. And they used it as a Zionist, you know. That,
yeah.
And he had a son who lived in Crown Heights.
He had complaints.
And the son went into the Rebbe to say, what should I do?
Yeah.
Did you make my father a Zionist?
Oh, yeah.
So the Rebbe said to him, are you going to reprint it? He says, no, it's very expensive to print. So he says, so here's your father's words are being reprinted.
Be happy.
So you say that he had different opinions,
Okay, but he's also making the point is that they're rebranding their father.
Right.
This is the biggest problem with Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. There's no person in our generation who has been abused. This is a fact. Yisrael Ber Kefet has been abused like Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. Everyone uses him as the poster child for their own hashkafa. Everyone will go and will find something that he said or he wrote, and he's the father of this. Excuse me, what are you talking about?
Out of context.
Yeah. Totally out of context. Right. Every brand of Judaism, every new brand and old brand, all of a sudden he became the Rav. The Rav is the one that endorsed. What are you talking about? You don't even know the history, you don't know what the story is. Maimonides, you don't understand what was going on in Boston at the time. That's a problem. It's a real problem when people take your work and they use it, like you're saying, for Eimah Banim Smecha, to go and suggest that he was a Zionist. He wrote a chibur for Eretz Yisrael like none other. It doesn't mean that he subscribes to every detail of your hashkafa. Okay, there are things that are true. There are things that are not true. Okay, but going back over here let's go back to our sugya over here. He says over here, incredible chiddush over here, and now comes the knockout punch. The knockout punch is, why did David have to say Mizmar LeDavid? What does he have to say LeDavid? David is obsessed with this covenant. He's obsessed that everyone should know that I wrote this LeDavid Mizmar LeDavid. And also look in the Middle Ages. The era of the Pythonim. Didn't you notice that all of the Zemirois and the Piyutim, there's this obsession that their name should appear in the acrostic. Somewhere in the acrostic, a lot of the Kinois, Elazar, what was his father's name? Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. Okay, like what was his name? Elazar, not Eliezer. Without a yud. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, a lot of the kinois, his name is there in the acrostic,
right.
And sometimes you know all the Pythonim, all of the famous Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, it was a given. You don't write a piyut unless you can sneak in your name somewhere. You know, many of the svarim almost
supposedly it was done to make it more easily to memorize.
I hear that idea. Ashrei, the Aleph Beis, they said about Ashrei, and about some of the that were some things that were piyutim that follow the letters of the Aleph Beis, that they say was a technique in order to make it easier to remember, because since each line is written according to the letters of the Aleph Beis, it makes it easier to remember because you limit the letters, so you know how where it's going. But there's that. Look, in every sefer today, when person publishes a sefer, they always, so therefore they put their name in. They hide their name in the sefer. What is the best example? I hope I never forgot it. Ayala Sashacha, my favorite example. I probably forgot to help me remember what it says. Who wrote how many volumes of Ayala Sashacha? It was written by Rav Steinman, Zechet Sadik Levracha. What was Rav Steinman's name? Anyone remember Rav Steinman's name? Rav Baruch. What was Rav Steinman's name? How could I forget? Aaron. Two names he had.
Aaron Leib.
Aaron Leib. And what was his wife's name? Tamar. Is that correct? Tamar. Sorry? So why is his name, why did Rav Shteinman, the Gadol Hador, you don't believe he was the Gadol Hador, you read the biography, the article of biography blew my mind. Is this person a human being or is he a malach? Mamish, a malach elukim tzavokos, Rav Shteinman. Just not to be believed who this person was, what kind of life he lived. And he wrote, I don't know, at least 20 volumes, probably a lot more. And now they're putting out even more of things that he wrote about. They keep putting out from him. And the name of his son that he published in his lifetime was called Ayeles HaShachar. Why did he call his sefer Ayeles HaShachar? So Aleph Lamed is Rosh Tevois Aroin, Ayeles, Ayeles. So Aleph is Aroin. Yud is Yehuda, Lamed is Leib, and Sof is Tamar. Tamar, Ayeles. Do you know any Haredi rabbi who puts his wife's name in the title of his sefer? Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone who, anyone ever heard anyone who did this? Because Masha was called by his wife's name. What was his name? Adair. Okay? Because why? Because his wife supported him. Because his wife came from, I think he came from a wealthy family.
He didn't, but his wife was loaded.
Right, so in honor, but so he was called by his wife's name. What was Adair? That was the name of that?
Adelis.
That was his wife's maiden name. Right, Adelis.
He opened up a yeshiva with a dormitory that he paid for the whole thing. No, it didn't cost you to go.
Free.
He paid for the whole thing.
Mani b'chamav b'chinam. So, okay, you have the marsha, but in our generation, we're Haredim have a tendency to have sort of...
Most all the Rishonim and Achronim, in those days, who wrote a lot, were loaded.
Only they could afford.
Of course, they could afford not to work. And sit and write.
Okay, not everyone. Look at the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is one of the most world famous Sfarim that is accepted by every single segment of Klal Yisrael. He wrote a library of books. And what happened to all of his books? They were destroyed in a fire. Every single one of his books was destroyed in a fire. He was extremely depressed. He went to a gadol. Who did he go to? I don't remember the whole story. He went to one of the gadol Yisrael and he told them, I can't live anymore. I worked my whole life. I published. I wrote, all gone. So he said, is there anything left? Anything left? Is not even one sefer? Yeah, there's this thing I wrote on the sefer Achinuch. I wrote something called Minchas. I wrote it called Minchas Chinuch. I was so poor when I wrote this, I didn't have paper. So I wrote along the margin of some other book. I wrote along the margin. He wrote the whole thing in Rashi Tevis. He didn't even spell out the words. So this girl says, publish it. He published it. And today, there's no sefer that is more popular than the Minchas Chinuch. And Ad Kedei Kach, the very first book, go back now 30 years ago, the very first sefer that was republished with new technology, newly typeset with computers, not the old-fashioned type of style writing, and with the quality which basically every single sefer is published today, was the Minchas Chinuch. It was a novelty, machon. This goes back more than 30 years ago. More, it was you don't even appreciate it. Everything in those days was the old-fashioned type of svarim. It was the first thing that they used technology before Art Scroll, before Art Scroll did anything, to take the new technology and to publish a sefer today. The whole thing, you see, every sefer today is published like that with the new technology. But that was the first. Okay, now going back, so he put in his name Ayeles, Aaron Yehuda Leib Tamar. That's what he called the name of his sefer. He put his wife's name. There is, it's not just a cute thing to do. It's not. It appears that there is a requirement to do this. Somehow there is an obligation almost. If you read the Hakdama of almost any sefer, you will see that the Mechaber explains to you why he selected this particular title for his Sefer, and how his name is merumers in the Sefer. Whether it's a gematria, whether it's a Rashi Tevois, or whether it's part of a Pasik, he'll always tell you, my name is there. Os Gaiva, you have to go and it's not enough that you're the Mechaber, you have to put your name in the title also. No. This is a requirement, and he over here he alludes to it, and over here the Panim Irois is Mefalpel, and he says over here, now you go Vizehu, three lines from the bottom of this paragraph, Vizehu Sha'amar, Ozamariti, then I said, Hinei Vosi B'Megillah Sefer, David is speaking, what does this mean? He says a novel interpretation, Ka'asher Nivo'er B'Siyat Shmaya, V'Nascha Mipsukim HaKoidim, now, we have to read a little bit further. What does he mean? What does he mean over here? Okay, I'll explain. Let's explain. Vida, the besoicha perish yesh gargir misefer lev aryeh. He's going. Let's just go. Jump in a little bit. I'm not clear what he means over here, but let's just keep on reading for a few more lines, and you'll see what I mean. Vesefer eretz achayim. Umine. I'm now on the left column of the chaimas anachem page 367. Umine umenayu yiskales. Between all of this from that he's quoting, it will now be explained. In other words, the Chaimas Anach is very clever. The Chaimas Anach, when he's talking about giving attribution, is giving attribution.
Well,
he's saying, I'm giving you an idea.
The thing about it is,
yeah,
he gives two citations from this Medrash that we learned yesterday.
Okay.
The second one, it's not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
Ris Rabba, the second reference, it's not there.
He's quoting over here Svarim. Yesh Gargir Misefer Lev Ari. Let's look what he's giving.
No, I'm talking about the one where, about Mamzeres and all that.
That was a previous Svar. That was done with.
I'm saying, his citations.
Yeah, are not correct?
He only got it half right.
Okay, fine. But that's a different, that was yesterday.
I'm just saying, it's not, I didn't bring it up yesterday.
Okay.
It's not there.
Okay. Okay, I hear. I don't know what to say. I'm not going to argue. I hear. It's not there. If it's not there, it's not there. We got a problem. You are correct.
He quoted it or wasn't
it? I ought to know. I translated it.
Rabbi Mechol, he translated Rus. Medrash Rabbah into English was translated by Rabbi Mechol Miller. He wrote the Medrash in English. So he knows. He can. He knows. I don't know. That was yesterday. Today's a new day. Let's get that yesterday for now. Over here, he's telling you an idea. It's very cute. He's talking about the sugya of Omer Dabashem Amrei, and now he's telling you, by the way, what I'm going to tell you now, I don't want to plagiarize in this paragraph, so I'm telling you that I'm saying now is a combination from two other books. There's a book that was written by the Alshich, one of the biggest darshanim of the world, the Alshich, and called Lev Aryeh. And then there, not the Alshich. What am I saying? I'm sorry, I'm not the Alshich. I'm sorry. Yehuda Aryeh Leib Ha'ashki. I don't know who that is. Okay, he tells you, Mahaduras, New York. Parshas Chayesor Izdat. He's telling you where it came from. Vesever Eretz Achayim. He's giving over here, there are two books. I'm going to tell you now an idea which is a product of the thoughts and ideas of these two Sephardim. Umini Uminayhu. From me and them. I'm going to tell you now my ideas, which are based upon their ideas. The combination is a teamwork. Hachut hamishulish loibim her yinotek yiskales ilo'o. It will be praised greatly. The idea I'm going to tell you is awesome. The translation of these two words together is like the teenagers say, awesome, man. Okay? Awesome. Yiskales ilo'o. Omamar. It says here in the Pasik, Le'el, in the beginning of this Mizmor, Rabbi, Sosisa, to Hashem, Hanigle, Ma'asecha, Shosisi, Manu, Tzedakah, V'chesed. Let's run through the words very quickly. All of these great things that you've done, V'zeo Shomar, Ato Hashem, Ato Chesed, I don't even know how to translate, but just run through this. Ato Chesed, Hashem, Mitzrachim, Heim, Rabbi, Ki, Einenu, Horois, we witness your great kindness. Ach! We can't even begin to calculate and relate all of the hidden miracles. If I would attempt to relate all of the miracles, it would be too much. Al achas kam v'kam im hayu yodim akol, if we would even know, there are secrets that we don't even know about. In apay yichal daber. Now here we come. Here we come to our what we want to talk about. The davar shia bichlal big zeras eli. I don't know what that means. Amarta. There's someone Eli. There was a curse because Chofni Pinchas, they delayed. They were mevazeh the avoida of the Beis Hamikdash. They did not do the avoida correctly. There was corruption. It says Im Yischaper Avoyin Beis Eli Bezevach V'Mincha. V'Ramasta Bezed Mischaper B'Divrei Torah. All right, let's just go further. That's not our point over here. That's not our point. V'hayin d'lashmoy divrei Torah b'li shum hargosh l'vad l'shmoy b'yaznayim asher k'risa li v'ein dugma oil v'chato l'shalti v'choysev divrei Torah k'makrev karbon k'moy shom uzal u'lechein. Here's what we need. O'oz omariti b'megillah sefer l'hakrev karbonos v'imro'o tira kosov oloi. Here's what I wanted to say. David says, I'm going to write chidushei Torah. I'm going to write Tehillim. Chazal say Tehillim is equivalent to a Daf Gemara. It has a unique attribute, Tehillim. It's famous Chazal. If you read, if you read other Tefillos, you don't get credit for Talmud Torah. But if you recite Tehillim, it's Ki'ilu you learn a Daf Gemara. Okay, so let's understand that when you're learning Tehillim, you're learning Gemara. And David says, if you're going to see him, ro'o tira kosov aloi, if you're going to wonder, why did I take credit for myself and begin each mizmar, each daf Gemara, mizmar l'David? L'David mizmar. Why am I so obsessed with my kovod to attribute each psalm to me? If you're going to see, I wrote down my chidushim in the Megillah Sefer. According to the Chumash Anoch, we have a new translation from Megillah Sefer. Tehillim! Remember, until now, we started the shiur, Megillah Sefer refers to Chamisha Chumshei Torah, or it refers to Megillas Rus. Now we have a third interpretation. Megillah Sefer refers to Tehillim. And you're going to wonder, why do I have to put my name on every single Mizmar? V'imro'otira kosov aloi shani kosev Mizmar l'David, l'amnatseach l'David, maskil l'David, v'gam kol Sefer Tehillim noida shani chibartif. On the cover of every Tehillim, you see a guy with a harp. Who's that guy? Who's that young man? Who's the old man with the harp? Who is he? Me, who's that? Is David! I never knew that's what he looked like. Right? Why is the obsession to attribute? V'hoyoli lichlev stam! Anonymous! Ach, loy me romus rucha. I want to make it clear to you. This is not gaiva. It's not gaiva to me to say mizmal David.
Expressing his own feelings.
Let's see. So why me? There's a person out there in the veld who expresses his own feelings. Let's see. Ki lasois ritzoincha elokai chofas. This goes into the next pasuk. Kidei sheyikablu hadvarim. Ki soiroscha besoich me'oi. The Torah is in my innards, my innards. The imlo yedu. If they're not going to know, shani hamechaber lo yikabluhu. Haloi tira, see, bisarti, I announced, I publicized, tzedek, b'kohol rov, v'ani doresh barabim, v'eni choyshe sheyovei achar ha'am, v'yignoiv, and will steal, hadrush ha'hu, ki eni mafsa, I don't lose out. D'chesh sheyom renu, afilu she'eno emer mishmi, even if they say over my words and they don't attribute it to me, Hinei sifosai loy echle, my lips will not wither. They will still murmur. They will still murmur in the grave. Usfosai doivivais. Why? Ki at ki Hashem? You know the truth. Ato yodata ki ani hamoilid v'amachadesh achidesh ahu. Vafilu shul, next page, page 360, Vafilu shulo yomu mishmi. Okay, let's review what he's saying. He's saying over here an interpretation that's second to none in these two psukim. David over here is saying is, do not suspect that I'm obsessed with my honor, and that's why every mizmor has my name. Mizmor le David, lamatzeach le David, maski le David, David mizmor. No. I know good and well that if I do not put my name on this book, on each mizmor, no one will pay attention. It will go into shemais, or who will go into the garbage. No one. I must put my name in order to draw attention that it's worth reading. It's worth reflecting upon. I'll prove it. Oh, you'll say to me, yeah, that's what you say. That's make-believe. Really, it's gaiva. We don't believe you, David. You're a liar. It's gaiva. Don't go tell us this excuse because no one's going to pay attention. We don't believe you. No, I'll prove to you that it's not gaiva. Because my entire life, I put up as open source code. You know what open source code is? Is where we make a program and basically it's free. It's so free, they give you the source code.
Open source.
You can, everyone, all of my chidushim in this world, I used to give shi'um. I was a big rashiva. David was multi-talented, multifaceted. He was not just the melech, he was a rashiva. He gave shi'urim every day. And he'd sit over the most incredible chidushim. Now, if a person wanted to make money from his chidushim, he would, you know, lock and key, intellectual property rights. He would make arrangements somehow, some way, that it would be copyrighted, and no one could dare repeat or use his chidushim unless they would pay for rights. They would have to pay money, and it would have to be attributed to him. David said, "I would openly preach and give over chidushim to the world, and I would insist that you can take it and you can say it in your own name." You can do with it. I revealed revelations of Torah in this world. Whoever wants can have it. If I really cared about my kavod and my money, I would never do that. I would limit its distribution only for people who have a license, who have paid money to take my words. The fact that I gave the world everything for free, and all over the world they're saying over chidushim, and they're not giving me attribution, is a revelation that I don't care. It's not about my gaiva. So why then did I in Tehillim write maski le David, mizmar le David, mizmar l'natzeach le David? It's because when it comes to these expressions of supplication and prayer, I know good and well that if I don't put my name on it, no one's going to pay attention. It's not a big seller. These type of supplications are not, it's not going to sell. But they're very critical to understand what I wrote, because you can use it for your own benefit in your own life. And therefore, it's necessary that there be attribution only in order that people should get the message for marketing purposes. But it's not gaiva. Because look, things that were very delicious and stood on its own did not need my name. I didn't put my name on it.
Oh, but it's really not gaiva at all, because he's making admissions that even though I'm the king, it's a very humbling experience.
Well, some is more, not all.
Yeah,
not all, some.
I mean, I didn't do much.
Some. And that's how he learns over here these psukim. Ozamarti. Then I says, then Ahine, Vasi, Bimegila, Sefer. I went and I revealed, I have come and made a revelation of my life story and my supplications to Hashem in the Megillah Sefer, because I want to share the lessons of life and how to daven to Hashem and how to relate to Hashem in Tehillim. In the Megillah Sefer, he's calling Tehillim, Megillah Sefer is Tehillim. Comma. Oh, you're going to say, David, you're such a balgaiva. Kosev Oloi. If you really believe in what you wrote, that it's so important to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it written Oloi upon me? Why did I have to attribute every single mizmor to myself? don't get excited. You know why? Because La'asoyis ritzoincha elokai chafotzti. Because the answer is, it's not true. It's not gaiva. I want people to know about it. I want the world to know about it. And if I'm not going to attribute it to my name, they're not going to pay attention to it. And the proof to this is, and v'saroscha b'soch me'oi, the proof to this is, now you see what he's doing over here is he's really combining, he's passing over a highway, he's combining the words v'saroscha b'soch me'oi, he's making believe there is no soif pasuk. And he's now saying the proof. Because look, I had within me the most awesome chidushim of Torah. And you know what I did? Bisarti tzedek b'kohol rav. I made it open source. If I wanted to, I could have capitalized. I could have become a millionaire. I could have copyrighted. I could have copyrighted my chidush Torah and I would have been a millionaire and I would have got a lot of covet. And instead, I gave it away for free. And people don't even realize that throughout the entire world, they're saying my chidushim for free. I'm not getting a penny. Worse, they're not even saying it over in my name. I let them do it lechatchila because those things are popular things. And those things, I don't need that. I don't need it to be attributed to me. The world will gobble it up even if they don't have my name on it. So that is a revelation. I don't really care about my honor. And the reason why I, when it came to Tehillim, I had no choice but to put my name on the Tehillim is because Tehillim is not popular. People don't like to focus on tzaras, on misery, davening. It's not so easy. People are not going to pay attention. This would get lost. So that's why specifically Tehillim, I had no choice but to be Kosov Olai. And now that people are going to read Tehillim, they're going to read Tehillim, and they're going to do my Chidushei Torah. Now I'm going to merit Sif Soisai, Daivivai Spakever. Now I'm going to Mizorach HaSifo, Hinei, Sifo Sai Loi Echlo, because Hashem Ato Yodata. And when it comes to my Chidushei Torah, this continues on the Chidushei Torah, the Chidushei Torah that I made open source, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried that I'm not going to be zoicha to sifsoisa doiva v'sbakever. All you need to be zoicha to sifsoisa doiva v'sbakever by Torah is that the chidushim should be repeated, even if they don't give the correct attribution. You know, there are a lot of rishonim, the Rashba and the Ritva, and there are other examples I don't remember now, which there are printers' mistakes, and they publish it under the wrong name. There are certain sections of the Ritva that are really the Rashba. It's not fair. Or the other way around. There are many other examples like this. Look at the Mishnah Brura. He quotes chunks of the Baal HaTanya, mamish pages. And he doesn't even say that this is the Baal HaTanya. So people read the Mishnah Brura and they think they're reading the words of the Chafetz Chaim. And little do they realize this is mamish lifted 100% from the Baal HaTanya. There's certain maybe the Bir Halacha, the Imam is the whole page. It's all from the Balat, doesn't even say. So you're going to say the Chavetz Chaim was a Ganef? You're going to say that the Baal HaTanya lost out? Every time a person reads that, the Baal HaTanya, he gets credit. The Sif Sois of Deva Spakever is being achieved for the Baal HaTanya. Just because, even though the Mishnah Brura, for whatever the reason, didn't quote it in his name. There are many examples. This is his Yesoid. You don't need attribution in order to be zoicha to the principle of sifsois of davis bakever. The general reason why we hold kol oy medabeshem omroi mevi gul yolam, which expressed the idea that you must give attribution, is in order, it's marketing, as Shemachal said, or it's in order to properly give weight. How serious should you take this? If this was said by an Adam Gadol, take it very seriously. It was written by a person that's not so great. Okay, think about it. It's a rating system. It's important for something to be rated. But for Sif Soisav, Dovah Spakever, that's not important at all. You have this idea when it comes to davening for people. Let's say you don't know the name of the person. Is it really necessary every single time to say, in davening in the Shemesh, I don't know his name. So should you say the Yehi Ratzon? if I don't, it doesn't come out of my lips, the name of the person, Yitzchak ben Avraham, oh, he's not going to get a refuah shlema. It's ridiculous. Obviously, there's an advantage. There's an advantage to say the person's name. But if you don't say the person's name, and you have kavana, you davening with your full heart as a refuah shlema, you can say it in English. Okay, there's a question. There's a big range of opinions how far a person should go in the Shemona Esrei to embellish the brachos and recite Yehi Ratzons and recite secular names. Different opinions. Some people, yeah, you say the Yehi Ratzon in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you can say a secular name, no problem. You can say John Smith. May John Smith, who lives on East 18th Street, may he have a refuah shlema. What? You can have Shemona Esrei in English. Some say no. Shemona Esrei is very, very sacred. It's a very sacred thing. Don't abuse it. If you don't know his name, the name that we use in the Mesorah, we call it to an Aliyah, his mother's name. There's a certain protocol. There's a protocol. There's a reason why there's a protocol. Listen, we don't understand how these things work, but don't go so fast to abuse the protocol of saying the person's biblical name that he's called to the Torah with his mother's name. If you don't know it, so be mechavein. But don't actually say a secular name. Yesh v'yesh. Everyone, there are different opinions on this matter. Different opinions on this matter. But let's say you don't even know his name. It's the same thing. Hashem knows his name. You know who you're thinking about. Yimachaven. You want to learn L'zeichel L'ili Nishmas. Is it so necessary to go say out the name? Today's the yard side of a person. You're learning. No. Automatically. Hashem knows. It says here, Ato yodato. Mamish what it says in the Chidah. Hashem, they're saying over my chidushim, and they're not giving me attribution. The whole world is saying over my chidushim. No one's giving me attribution. It's okay. Ato yodato. You, Hashem, know that it's my chidush, and memela, whatever is meant for me will come to me in the next world. I need not worry. Some people, they get a little bit too carried away with this. They get too carried away with you have to, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's. Everything has to be, you know, to an extreme. Don't worry. Hashem knows. Ato yodata. All right, this is the Chiddush. We'll leave with this. Tomorrow we will continue to the next two psukim.
Yoshua Menachem Mendel. He said, drop the Mendel.
Why?
Because it's not Hebrew. It says it in Smart. You don't get called an Aliyah, but it...
Really?
Yeah. I used to say when I gave a Kushiur here, it says you're not allowed to get an Aliyah with a Jewish name. Not allowed. You Aliyah is very sacred.
Yeah, thank you.
You use the Hebrew. And I'm assuming that's why he said, don't say Mendel anymore. Yitzchak Isaac, you don't say.
You're going to
say
Yitzchak.
Coming here.
She's coming? Yeah. I'm walking.
Isaac is the secular name. It's the English name for Yitzchak. Isaac.
How was traveling?
It's the Yiddish name. That's what it is. It's not a Hebrew.
Fantastic.
Isaac is not a Hebrew name. So I said, it's not. Isaac, Isaac.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like Shlomo Zalman. Zalman is Zalman. Zalman is not a Hebrew name.
Yeah, so if you go 18 down in your head, you're...
Zalem is not a Hebrew name.
Oh, sure it is.
Not Zalem.
You definitely...
What?
How do you pronounce this? How do you pronounce this name?
What?
How do you pronounce this name? Yehuda Lanchiner? Lynchiner? Lynchiner? How do you pronounce this?
Yeah,
a Lynchiner?
Lynchiner.
Lynchiner.
Lynchiner. You know who was Lynchiner? It was Tervidas.
Isaac. Isaac,
yes. Yitzchak Isaac, sure.
Yeah, but it's his secular name, Isaac.
It's like Kleinem is Kalman.
Right.
So which is exactly?
Kleinem is Hebrew, Kalman is not.
Michiel
is a Hebrew name. I have a safe name. I have a safe that lists all the names.
What's Michiel?
It explains every name.
Michiel is
so many combinations. Listen, my wife came to me, she didn't know what to say. One of her co-friends was trying to convince my wife that she was mad that the rabbi wrote her a letter and he gave her a name. And my wife showed it to me. And so my wife was like dumbstruck and she showed me the same. You know what to mean? He said, what should I do? He said, it's Heinu Yehudi. That's what he wrote. It was, you know, like, oh my goodness. Anybody sit in the basement?
Fetterman?
No.
And the vision they should both put to.
Did he say who was calling? Or he didn't know?
He probably thought it was calling.
It
doesn't matter. They're not. The seniors are not now voting
because every for Hakoi.
Period. How do they know?
He assured me that
they don't care. See, the mockers, they came after early. They came out before all this education stuff. And after that, that's it. I care more about their kids. It's like the labor unions. They don't listen to what their leaders do. They do what in their own best interest. How much money they have.
Didn't you write that on your
time? I did. And I said it to that guy. He says, you're right. Yeah, but the email thing will happen CCN.
When do you think start the...
Okay, well, I was going to wait. I've got to wait until Friday, but early voting, and then start Shabbos. What do you think of my parallels with the Israeli elections? Have I got it right?
You know what I found interesting? Alan Dershowitz was being interviewed, and he's against early voting. He says there's a lot of problems with it.
Did you read my post about that? It enables cheating.
Yeah.
Enables.
Well, that's what he said.
What I want to tell you, in New York, it's not easy to cheat. It's actually difficult.
Even if it was 100% accurate, it's a mistake. You find out you voted for somebody who really is not. Or you found out that he was like,
robbed a bank. Or they scheduled the debates after
it's
the
not
early
right
voting
to vote
starts.
Until voting day. You could find out a million things a month later.
Yeah. Obviously, when
who started this? The Democrats.
I still remember the mayor that was in trouble. It looked like he might be the mayor of New York for a while, and then he was sex. He was the young Israel, you know, my friend was being honored for the Israel accomplish, and he was the keynote speaker. And then the next day, the story was so open.
How do you know that?
And he was almost.
So, it was very funny.
Yeah. I was approached.
Why did they got their face?
What do you think? Can you win?
There were three big debates last night. The transgender Republicans,
of course, all of them. She held her own, definitely.
It's all Trump's fault.
Yeah, well, you see, that's it.
It's all Trump.
It was, the huckle was abortion, Trump. And then many Democrats are following that, and it ain't working.
Why would anybody want to watch all huckles today?
I don't know.
Monday morning, he said he was listening to the ads, and until this weekend, hopefully it was just talking about Trump. And suddenly she switched and it's all about crime.
Yes, she's
promising. The polls show that the crime is more important than the abortion.
It's so transparent.
Because the abortion is not going to change in New York, because
it's not.
That's
it. He's following. A lot of them are following.
Right. It's also the clock statistics.
It's all about the polling statistics. So.
Yeah. She said, I spent so much money on the cops. So what? Where are they? Yeah. Okay.
You can't even recruit cops.
No, I'm law enforcement. Right? And then she was asked about, and then she had the nerve to say, why do you care so much about this crime stuff?
Yeah. Let her give up her
security. It happened on this front. But. That was one killer. And then when she mentioned nursing homes, boom. And that was the other, when she mentioned nursing homes and COVID. That would be it.
Isn't he coming back, Andrew?
No.
Please.
You're a masochist?
I never understood Cuomo. Why didn't just come out and say we were advised at that time and we were wrong? End of discussion.
Yeah.
Did you understand that?
Whatever happened to that investigation?
Well, we had an investigation.
Yeah, so what happened to them? Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? Just admit you were wrong. That's it. Don't do that.
All right, let's start by saying.